Well, praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome one and all to the adult class. I'm glad to see all the new folks here today. We've got several. Bless your heart. I hope you enjoyed this new series. I know it's a little dim in here, but because the focus is going to be up there. And that's the reason. Our new series, this is our part one of a three-part series called Creativity. And my goal for this new series, actually for today's message, is to realize, come to the understanding, and you probably say, I already know this, Earl, but I want you to get a better appreciation of how really, really big God is and how really, really small we are. So as we come to the Lord's presence in prayer, Heavenly Father, bless this service. I pray that you help us to meet these two objectives, Lord, that we appreciate, Lord, how big and how awesome you are. And even though as small as we are, you care for us. For we ask us in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. The name of the message today is The Heavens Declare. I'm going to read out of the English Standard Version. It says in Psalm 19, verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims His handiwork. And that's the focus for today. I want to think about, talk about the sky above and also His handiwork. Now, our journey begins, oddly enough, in our own galaxy. Now, somewhere, when I was in fourth grade, if they still keep records that long, I don't know how long, but when I was in fourth grade, they had us to write a paragraph as to what we wanted to be when we grow up. I was so fascinated, even back then in the fourth grade, that I wanted to be an astronomer. Well, that didn't happen. But I'm still fascinated with space and all things related to space and time and these kind of things, because as a little child, I still wonder. I still have that little child inside of me that wonders and looks up at the heavens and look how magnificent it is. This is our home. We live in a world that you measure with inches, feet, and miles. We even have measurements like subdivisions. Everybody knows what a subdivision is. We have subdivisions. Within the vast universe, God has subdivisions. They're called galaxies. In each of those subdivisions, there is a galaxy with stars and with planets and with all kinds of matter that we probably can't even conceive of everything that's in there. This is our subdivision. We live somewhere in this galaxy. This is our home. And as we look at it, we look at how bright it is. Now, this is called a barred galaxy. And I'm going to be using some technical terms, but I hope not to overdo it with the technical stuff. But what that means is all of those little swirls, everybody's eating a cinnamon swirl, I would imagine, right? All those little swirls, they wrap around. And as you can see, there's these bars, these swirls. And then there's that nucleus there in the center, that bright spot. No, that's not the sun. You might think that's the sun, but that's not it. We'll get to that in a moment. We live, actually it does look similar to a hurricane. It does. It does. Amazing. Start looking in nature. You'll find a whole lot of commonalities from the small to the greatest. We live somewhere on one of those second arms. Now, man hasn't reached the capacity to where he can go outside the galaxy and look back. But this is the image that they believe is correct because of other galaxies they've observed and the ability to look at the things within our own galaxy. This is the Milky Way galaxy here. And so you can see that bright spot. Even closer to home is this twirling little ball called Earth. And Earth, I think, is what, some 25,000 miles in diameter. If you were to drive around and around, maybe one time, you'd have to drive for weeks just to go around one time. Gives new meaning with your kids. Are we there yet? You know, if you had to drive just one time around the Earth, it would take you weeks to do it. And when Apollo 17 actually turned and took a picture of the Earth, this is what they saw. How beautiful. How beautiful in God's design of the Earth. What we're actually looking at is the continent of Africa, there closer to the center and to the left, with the clouds, the swirling clouds just barely covering the tip of the continent of Africa. And when Apollo 17 took this, now you might think, oh, I've seen the Earth dozens, maybe hundreds of times. Think about the people who lived when this picture was taken, might include some of us in here, who had never seen the Earth from the outside for the first time. For the very first time, they were able to see what the Earth actually looked like from out in space. From God's perspective, we can now see what Earth looked like. Most of you have heard of Neil Armstrong, famous astronaut, first to set foot on the moon. He had this to say on one of his missions when he looked back. He said, "It suddenly struck me that that tiny pea, pretty and blue, was the Earth. I put out my thumb and shut one eye, and my thumb blotted out the planet Earth. I didn't feel like a giant. I felt very, very small," because he could see the Earth and he knew how far away it was with his own eyes. Now, if you think I'm trying to make you feel small in this class, I am. I want you to feel small. I want you to realize how tiny you are in relation to everything else. But that's the beauty of all this. It's how small you are. And that's what he saw. He saw, they called it the pale blue marble. Our next stop is the sun. 93 million miles away, it takes approximately 8 minutes, a little more, for the first rays of sunlight to go from the sun to reach planet Earth. It's that far away, and the sun, its rays and all of its glory, here's an animation, actual activity of the sun. The sun is a raging ball of fire. It's hard to believe. We talk about all the power and the arsenal of weapons that we have between all of our countries, of nuclear weapons. What is going on right now before your very eyes on this screen is hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands of nuclear bombs going off all at once. All the time. Constantly. If you were to take all the power that we could possibly generate from this planet Earth, all the power that it could generate, we would have maybe enough to power the sun for 1 second. How big is that? 1 second. And all this power of the sun, and it rotates once about every 25 to 36 days. It's over 100 times bigger than the Earth. And the interesting thing is that we are at just the right distance from the sun. See, if anybody's ever spun a top and let a top spin as fast as it can, what happens when it starts to slow down? You ever seen one? They'll start this little wobbling effect, right? As it's starting to slow down, the top is doing this. This is what the Earth is doing. It's that spinning and turning at the same time that it's wobbling, so that we get our seasons. Now, obviously, it's not going that fast, but every little bit, it tilts, and then we get either summer or winter, depending on where you live on the earth. The thing is, if the earth did not tilt, the temperature would probably stay mostly constant wherever that was. If it was too close or too far away, it would not be able to sustain life. By just a little bit, it would not be able to sustain life on this planet. How big God is. Let's travel out just a little further. By now, remember I told you, back in our own galaxy, the sun, as big as it is, can you see the word sun down there with an arrow pointing to some dot that you can't even see from where you are? That's approximately where we live in this solar system. And the thing is, in this one galaxy, okay, I said solar system a minute ago, but I meant galaxy. In this one galaxy, they have estimated at least 200 to 500 billion. Now, that's too high for me to count because I don't have enough fingers and toes. 500 billion stars in just this one galaxy where we live. The sun is only one of those stars. Can you imagine 200 to 500 billion in this one galaxy? How wonderful, how magnificent is God? If we travel out 440 light years, now we're in God's measurement. Here on Earth, we measure things by miles. We measure things by kilometers and other things like that. God measures things in light years. Light year. How far can light travel in 1 year? It travels at 186 feet or miles per second. 186 miles per second. In 1 year, it can travel 5.8 trillion miles. Imagine that. 5.8 trillion miles. Definitely don't have enough fingers and toes for that. In 1 year, it can travel that far. Multiply that by 440, we get what is called the Pleiades star cluster. This cluster can be seen with the naked eye. God spoke to Job about the Pleiades and also the constellation Orion. Talked about his greatness and how he laid this out with his hand. With his hand, he stretched forth the stars and he named them one by one.
What's a falling star?
What's a falling star? Oftentimes it's like a meteor. We call it a star, but it's really not a star. It's like a chunk of rock that is moving so fast, and then when it hits Earth's atmosphere, and by the way, that's critical to the astronauts who come back into the Earth's atmosphere, you have to hit it at just the right angle. And even at just the right angle, it's almost a ball of fire because you got to come in so fast, and you got to hit it at the right angle. If you're just off by just a little bit, you burn up. And that's usually what happens to these falling stars, we call them. In November, I don't know who's interested in going out, but usually in November, there's always this meteor showers that come from this direction, the Pleiades, and other places. And usually November is it's like its peak times. And not too long ago, I woke up. I think it was Deronda. I think Aaron went with me. I believe I had Jason. Or no, I tried to get Jason and Ariel to go with me, but they, young adults, they wanted to sleep in and miss this historic event. But we got up, 2-3 o'clock in the morning, drove out to Dublin just so we could watch. Because the thing was, it was going to be the highest Pleiades meteor shower for the next maybe 100 years or so. In other words, I wouldn't be alive on the next one. But it was like the highest one. I didn't want to miss it. I went out there, and I enjoyed the show. It was so good to watch. But that meteor shower coming from this direction. This is 440 light years. And it's hard to conceive of what a light year is, but this can be seen by the naked eye or even through a small pair of binoculars. And this is what it says in Isaiah 40 and 12. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and marked off the heavens with a span? A span is a unit of measurement back in Bible times. It means this much. It's your hand width. It's just your hand width. A cubit is from the tip of your fingers to your elbow. A span is this. God measured the universe off. That looks about right. And he laid the stars out and the galaxies. He spread them apart. Oh yeah, by the way, we live in the Milky Way galaxy, but they estimate that there are billions of other galaxies. Billions. And each one of those have millions, if not billions, of stars. We travel further. 1,000 light years. Again, one light year. 5.8 trillion, trillion miles now. Trillion. Don't forget that number. Now we are 1,000 light years out. They found this pulsar. This pulsar, I'm not even sure what a pulsar is exactly. But one of the things it does, as it also rotates. This particular one rotates about 11 times per second. But it also emits a magnetic field. This is something out in space that is just spinning around and sometimes shooting in both directions, this magnetic field. I mean, God is just so wonderful. We, as humans, have created technology. We call them the radio telescope. We can point this radio telescope. Everybody in their life always wants to know the question, is there anybody out there? Well, they want the answer to that. Is there anybody out there? So they started listening out in space. And so they come across this pulsar. This pulsar, they want to know if anybody's talking to us. So they point this radio telescope, and this is what they heard. Sounds like Morse code, doesn't it? Is anybody talking to us?
There's people out there, but I mean, I can't prove the thing I'm saying, but I don't believe God hung all them galaxies and whatever out there for no reason.
Well, when they ask the question, is anybody talking to us? Absolutely, there's somebody talking to us. God's talking to us. It's like he's banging out this noise. Now you can finally hear me, folks. He's banging out this noise. I am big. You are small. And that's what he's doing. I'm out here. Look at the glory. The Bible says, the heavens declare the glory of God. So everywhere we point our radio telescopes, and everywhere we point our big old Hubble telescopes that look into the far distances of space, they're all speaking to the glory of God. And this is just one more example of God talking to us. Let's go even further. That was 1,000 years. Let's go 8,000 years, light years, out. And I love this picture. This is the Hourglass Nebula. A lot of times they can't come up with really fancy names, so they call it Hourglass Nebula. I wonder why that is. It looks like an hourglass, doesn't it? It's this beautiful nebula, and I wished I had an image that got closer. But look what's inside the center. Looks like an eyeball. Your mother always told you probably that God's watching you. Yes, he is. Even from 8,000 light years away, he's watching you. He's watching over his creation. It looks just like an eyeball. How beautiful his design is. How grand is God. I mean, this is such a wonderful thing. National Geographic magazine quoted some astronomers. Actually, it had this in their magazine. It said, astronomers looked 8,000 light years into the cosmos with the Hubble Space Telescope, and it seemed that the eye of God was staring back at them. How wonderful is that? Even they say it looked like the eye of God was looking back. We're going to go even further out. Further out into the wonders of space. And so now, instead of 8,000 light years, remember a light year is in the trillions of miles, we are able, as frail and flawed humans as we are able, with the technology we have, to look out 28 million light years. I can't even imagine. 28 million light years. We come across what they call the Sombrero Galaxy. This is a separate galaxy, a separate subdivision that God has laid out, and who knows what's in it. But it's a wonder. It's a beauty. And people say, well, what's that doing out there? It's glorifying God. Glorifying God in all His beauty and all His wonder. This is one of the few galaxies that we can see. They call it edge on. Edge on. In other words, we see the edge of it. It'd be like if you took a dish plate, turned it up on its edge, with maybe just a very slight hint of a tilt. We can see it. Don't that almost look like a plate? And in the center, even though they call it a black hole, it's absorbing all this material and all this light is being pulled to the center because the gravitational forces will not let it go out. It's pulling it. So you see what this is. They call it the bulge, but this is why they call it a sombrero. It looks just like a big hat with a top on it. 28 trillion light years out in the cosmos. How wonderful is that? And most galaxies, or at least a large part that we see them what's called face-on. We see them as they swirl, just like we were showing the Milky Way galaxy a minute ago. Even though that's not a real picture, they can see other galaxies that are face-on, like you'd be looking at a plate directly on. And those things that you see back there, those aren't just stars. Some of those are complete galaxies in themselves. Some of those are whole other galaxies that are spread out in God's big universe that He laid out with His hand, with His span. And He names each and every one of the stars, the billions and billions and billions of stars. We're almost at the end of our journey. But now we are, what are we? We are 31 million light years out into space. This is one of those face-on galaxies I was telling you about. Because of a lack of imagination, I would guess, they call it the Whirlpool Galaxy. Because it looks like a whirlpool, like you said earlier. It really resembles a hurricane, because hurricane goes into what's called a whirlpool spiral. And here you can see one of the beauties in the far reaches of space, at least 31 million light years out there. And so when people ask, where is God? Will we eventually see far enough to where we can see God? And maybe that's what they're looking for. They want to see God. Well, if you travel further and further, the scriptures say in John 1 and verse 3, all things were made through Him, And without him was not anything made that was made. Where is God? Philippians 2, verse 6 says, speaking of Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Where is God? As far as God is out there, in one place the psalm says, as high as the heavens. We don't even know yet how high that is. God's love is for us. But we get a piece of how much God's love.
Without him.
I mean, as high as the heavens, as small as we are, our life is nothing but a vapor. Piece of dust on a planet that is so small in the rest of the cosmos. But God sent his son for us. And there is an image of him on the cross. And we want to know, how do we respond? I showed you this galaxy a minute ago. That was our last stop. There's something puzzling about this galaxy that just has scientists puzzled and interested all at the same time. You see, the galaxy by itself, looking at this distance, is very beautiful, very wondrous to look at. But guess what? If you zoom in, look at the very center of that spiral, not the one on the right, but on the one over here on the left. The very center, scientists can't figure out. They call it the X factor. That's what's in the center of that galaxy. You see, God is big, way bigger than we can even imagine. With all our technology and with all the things that we have, we can't see that far out to be able to find out where God's limits are. Isn't that interesting? We can't find God's limits. We don't know how big this universe is. God does. But somewhere out there, and I'm not trying to make you think that this is a cross. They call it the X factor. That's okay. But everywhere you go, there is reminders. There's the eye of God looking back at you as if it looks like an eye. And then you look in other places, there is this cross. Years before you were ever born or ever thought of, there is this cross that is out there in space that we are just now beginning to see. And the beauty of all of this is that long before you ever thought of what you are going to do with God, God has already thought about what he would do for you. And the wonder of it is, he didn't give us what our sins deserved. He gave his son what our sins deserved. Why did he do that? That was his love. And go ahead.
Before the foundation of the world, he knew us.
Right. Even before all of this.
Jesus died for our sins.
And he did this to give you, to give each and every one of us an invitation to take part and to live forever in this big, big story that's all about him. All about him. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for the beauty of space. Thank you for the wonders of space. Thank you for putting those things out there that declare the glory of God. Father, if we would only open our eyes and see how big you really are, how awesome you really are. But at the same time, the purpose of our planet, of our solar system, probably is not just to give us a home to live in, but maybe the larger purpose in all of this is to display the glory and the wonders of God so that we may worship you as you deserve to be worshiped. Thank you for your Son. Thank you for sending him. Thank you for salvation. We praise you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Praise the Lord.